you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Boy, are we lucky this week. Gavin Rossdale of Bush comes into the studio and we sit and talk with this guy about everything. Really fun episode. It's about an hour up with Gavin, and God damn it, is he good looking. That's all I'll tell you. The man is cool as shit and very good looking. If you're a Bush fan, you could have heard this 5 days ago, commercial free at gasdigital.com. Use the code STR, get 7 days free trial, 20% off. And I said this recently, we're going to be adding a lot of more exclusive content at gasdigital.com. So you may not want to subscribe now while the getting's good. Also, I've mentioned this many times, our fucking YouTube channel got shut down. Now we have like 1,000 subscribers. It is embarrassing. We got to start over. So go find us on YouTube and subscribe, for God's sakes. Here it is right now, the Gavin Rossdale of Bush episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. This is a hit show, show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show, let's go.
All righty, it is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton in studio once again with James Madden. How are you, buddy?
What up, baby?
Who apparently is wearing Yeezys.
I wore them last week. You complimented them, you chucharoon.
Did I? Let me see what they look like.
They're unbelievable. I spent too much money. They sat in my closet. Fine. I wrote a bit about it, too. Did
fine.
I get them on camera?
All right, put them down. Jesus Christ.
I was going to wear these other...
Jesus Christ, that's ironic.
I was going to wear... Yes. I was going to wear these Adidas that are soccer, but I didn't want to offend him in case he had a team. I have Arsenal.
That's my team.
I would have won you over.
Born and bred.
Big win tomorrow. Let's get a win tomorrow.
Right, by the way, we'll introduce our guest right at the top right now. Also, by the way, Shannon thinks he's lying. I don't think he's lying. He says he remembers me. He did the Zoom right when the last album came out, right? Right when Art of Survival came out.
I did. Why would I not remember you?
I'm really good with faces.
I'm really good. I did remember you when it came out.
It sounds weird when I say this, but you have been in my ear for the last week because I've been listening to not just music, but interviews with you and stuff. I try to come prepared.
Thank you.
Last time you were on the show, before I give you the full intro, you were impressed that I knew that Beautiful People was a band that was featuring members of Bush, and you said no one ever knew that, and yet somehow I knew that,
right,
which gave me some kudos, some credibility, I feel.
Right, the drama, Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So let's do this right. You ready? Sold over 24 million records, 25 consecutive top 40 hits, 7 of which being number 1, over a billion streams on Spotify, starring in movies like Constantine's, got a new movie coming out we'll talk about as well, called The Trainer, musician, actor, chef, tennis player, former choir singer back in his day. This is Gavin Rossdale. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks.
How was that for
me.
An intro? Do all right?
It was great. Former Yeezy wearer.
Were you a Yeezy wearer too?
No? They're so comfortable, but yeah, I can't recommend that.
No, okay, but so...
Okay, now I feel bad. I got Jewish blood. Let it be, guys.
just so I understand.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Well, look, we don't have to get into the whole thing here, but my dad is supposedly Jewish or Mexican. I've joked about this, but let's be honest. If there's a Fourth Reich, the Nazis aren't looking at me and going, oh yeah, your dad's from Tijuana. Not a chance.
Not a chance. Your dad was Jewish,
yeah,
right? I'm Jewish on both sides, right? Yeah. But not religious at even remotely. But the thing that I thought was wild, if it's true, you're Gavin McGregor Rossdale,
yeah,
technically the Irish McGregors, you're also related to Mr. Conor McGregor.
Yeah, well, McGregor clan. Yeah, clan. I'm from Scotland and half English, half Scottish.
So somehow you guys are related.
Yeah.
Part of that clan.
Same clan. Rob, and anyone who hasn't had any reference for that, Rob Roy, the great movie with the great Liam Neeson, that is the McGregor clan.
Okay, I don't know enough about the Scottish lineage and the way that works, but I'll take your word for it. Have you guys ever crossed
paths? They wore kilts in a manly way.
Very manly.
I always feel that men don't have enough pant options. We got pants and shorts.
That's right.
We can't do kilts. We can't do.
You can do a kilt.
And you really can't do. What
can't
are
do
they called?
Culottes.
What are they called? Yeah, is it culottes? What is? What do they call this? Yeah, you can't do those. No.
Sometimes
pedal pushes.
I run in leggings pushes. And I look ridiculous running in leggings. I can't do that in public.
I hope you do it.
But you're 6'6", as we worked out there. Yeah. So most regular pants would look like culottes on you anyhow.
Yeah, they do.
You have to go to the tall shops and all that stuff.
So just not that we should be talking about my fashion. I don't. You have a cool fashion brand. I see a sound right. Nothing would fit me. I imagine. Why would you make?
Of course it would.
But why would you make molds for 6'6"? Nobody's 6'6".
Well, because you, we got you.
Not my pants length. 38 length.
We can figure it.
All right. Well, if that's true, I'll wear some Sia Sound shit right now. God damn it. So I'm going to start with some old school stuff before Bush even started. I want to know if they're true or not. Did you indeed not were able to speak until you were 4?
Yeah, apparently. I was there. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't there to comment on it, but apparently I didn't say much. My sister would speak for me, which makes it ironic that I've lived a life where I use my voice and my mouth singing. But yeah, so.
Do you remember the time when you felt starting like, okay, I can start vocalizing, or that's a blur at this point?
Nah, I just wasn't very good at it, and she was really bossy, and so it just was like, she just took care of business.
How much older is your sister?
A couple of years, 2 or 3 years.
Okay, that's funny. And we were trying to think about this beforehand, and I'm going to put you in this group, Gavin. So, you're obviously a little older than me. Your birthdays are right around the corner, October 30th, right? Mm-hmm. And you're one of these rock stars, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing this, so I apologize, that has stayed good-looking, cool, and relevant for 30 fucking years, right? And I was trying to make lists of rock stars that have stayed cool and good-looking, and there are not that many. David Bowie, through his whole life, never not cool and good-looking.
Amazing.
I love Bowie. There was clearly a period. A Tin Machine? Would you call him cool in Tin Machine?
I saw that show actually in London. Tin Machine is pretty cool.
I didn't hate it. Yeah. I didn't that like the dancing with Mick Jagger. That was weird.
Dancing in the street.
That was a little weird.
That era after Let's Dance, when he was staying in the poppy things, with Blue Jean. That Blue Jean video, not cool.
But
not cool.
Who else would you put in the realm?
Slash.
I guess.
Slash has looked exactly the same for 42 years.
But he's got hair in front of his face.
But also...
What? that's cool.
But also, here's the thing.
We love him. I love Slash.
And Guns N' Roses, and I just saw them not that long ago. Big fan forever. Is it a great show right now? Like, I saw you guys not that long ago, and it's fucking great. It's still a real rock show. You're going to Guns N' Roses for nostalgia. Bush, new songs, charting, doing well. It's a different thing. Foo Fighters, maybe. That's another one, right? He's stayed cool his whole life.
He stayed cool.
I don't mean to shit on other people.
This is to say that I have to defend Guns N' Roses while we got Gavin here. It's like, I don't think that we even have to fight this.
No.
I mean, Slash still has snakes on his arms and plays guitar solos. I'm not saying Axl, who's after two songs, has to go get oxygen. Yeah. God bless him.
Whatever.
Duff's cool. Duff will kick everyone's ass.
You're in great shape. You still play tennis pretty regularly, I would imagine.
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're in good shape. You're probably, I'm not going to ask you to do this now because I don't want Shannon to pass out, but you could probably take your shirt off and still look good. That's a rare thing these days. So kudos to you.
I did that yesterday. I did a photo shoot yesterday with no top on. It was funny.
That's fine. It's also, by the way, slightly emasculating. You refer to it as a top.
It's just top.
Sure. Say things different. Sure.
Top sounds
I'm English.
I always say if you want to emasculate a guy, say, hey, nice blouse. I like your blouse.
Yeah, that would be.
I'm going to use that this week.
That's demasculating for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fighting talk.
It really is. And so to go back again, to the album that broke you guys, 16, so 30 years almost to the month or something that it came out, right? The first song you wrote by yourself is Come Down, right? That was when you kind of found your original voice as Gavin Down.
Yeah, when I played guitar. Because I used to be waiting around for a guitar player. I'd been in a band before Bush, and the guy didn't want me to play guitar because he was very good of a certain style, and I was really not very good.
Was that the band Midnight? Was that one?
No, that was the... We had this band in between. We had about many names. We went through a lot of names. I could give you 4 names, but it didn't really go anywhere, but it's kind of cool sometimes. You got to do something to figure out what you don't want to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I was in that band, and I was like, okay, I don't want to do it. And then that band broke up, and then when I was looking for people to work with, I felt a bit like... fraudulent. I was like, well, what, you're going to be a singer songwriter your life, but you can't actually, you need someone else to write a song. It seemed a bit basic. So I sat down and I found Come Down, and that was it. And then that's why I did end up writing the songs myself, because the way we worked, that's how I wrote the songs. And the guy that I work with, the guitar player, original guitar player, he was doing these he'd make these training videos for corporate people. And so he's making like good money,
An editor production kind of thing?
$1,000 for a company selling shoes, and he'd do that. So he didn't want to do any jobs, work with me or put any effort in, like writing a song, if there was no one's going to pay him. But what he did say is, I'll demo these songs for you. So we would demo all of 16 Stone, and then every three songs I say, are we going to write now? Let's write. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. You play guitar. He goes, no, this is how it works. You're going to bring me these songs, and I'm going to demo them, and I'm going to continue doing what I do. And if it happens, great. And if it doesn't, and all that happened is that I'm a McGregor. So I was like, I didn't give up, and I kept writing and kept going to his house with like, here's another three songs. And then we had that's what 16 Stone was. And so that's how it began. It wasn't like me, I got to do it. I've got to, you know.
Right. Really, so you they were didn't given to. No option, so you made it work.
They had no interest in writing songs.
Just like I heard that every fucking label passed on you guys initially, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then you moved to LA and you got like an independent. Well,
I didn't even move to LA.
Went to LA. Sorry.
I got a deal. Yeah. Yeah. Someone came over. He was actually starting this label. It's called Trauma. Mm-hmm. Signed in the Valley, and everyone told me not to do it. But I just imagined my life based on the Pixies, who had done that thing where they signed with
4AD.
The excellent 4AD in London and in England. It's like the best label. And I thought, oh, well, if it's nothing, it wasn't even an option. I didn't have anything to fall back on. So I was like, I just had to take the leap of faith. And then, you know, then we lost the deal because when we delivered the record to the distributor, which was Hollywood Records, they threw the CD at the head of the label and said, there's not even any, not only is there no singles on this record, there's not even an album track. Right. So that was someone at Hollywood Records. And then I went back to work. I had a job, you know.
You were a house painter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, painted 11 dentist offices at that point.
Did you just get a good dental plan out of that or no?
No.
Oh, God no. Damn it.
And then I found out that in the November of that year, after being back at work for a couple of months, the song was a hit at K-Rock.
You didn't even know what K-Rock was at that time, which yeah. I love that. There's like, K-Rock, all right, cool. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, exactly.
So when the one story, and then we'll move on from 16 Stone, but I don't know if this story is true, but if it is, I just love this image. I don't know how old you were when you were writing that record, but I would imagine early 20s. Yeah, is that a fair?
That
fair,
kind of thing, yeah.
Right? And you wrote Glycerine. And you're Dave, your former manager, who I think is no longer around, and your band members, and you're performing acoustically the first time this very emotional song, and your heart's on your sleeve, you're really fucking pouring it out there, and they start not listening, right? Yeah. And you're like, guys, this is important to me. Can you shut the fuck up and listen to this song? And that's how that song ends up coming on the record. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so accurate to the sense that I wrote the song. And it was weird because I heard Noel Gallagher talking about a song that he'd written the other day that when he took it to rehearsals, Live Forever, it's the first like proper song he felt he wrote for Oasis. Mm-hmm. And he's an obviously incredible songwriter. And they didn't believe he'd written it. And when I wrote Glycerine, it seemed so much better than anything I'd ever done that I was convinced that it must be from somewhere else. I was like, I can't have done that. And it just came out very stream of conscious, and I wrote it one time, and when I took it to this terrible, shitty rehearsal room in West London, they were just, you know, they're just being like, you know, just bored, and they're talking amongst themselves. And I was halfway through the song, and I was like, I stopped. And I was like, I think, just hold on. I think the song could, just let me start again. You're not paying attention. I think we got it. And they didn't pay attention. They didn't care. And they never did, because they didn't have to. Whenever I play that song, that's easy. My band.
They don't have to do anything.
No, they just leave and get drinks. It's perfect. That's the best song. They want me to play it three times a night.
That's fucking hilarious. I love that. And also what's interesting, and I was talking to, so James is a working comedian, right? And what's interesting is comedians, I feel, and you may feel like I'm wrong about this.
Congrats.
Thank you. Right. What a big deal. Comedians like 10 years into comedy, and a lot of other comics consider you still trying to find your voice, still pretty new. But musicians, you can make it big almost right away. You kind of took a few years into it, but because you've said in many interviews, even now, your voice is changing. It's 30 years later. The newest records are harder than ever. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting how you expect to know your voice so early on, but you change as a person.
Right.
So things change. It's just kind of The parallels between comedians and musicians I've always find fascinating, is all I'm saying. That's right. If that makes any sense.
Well, it's an amazing job. I love stand-up comics, and I think it's just incredible because much like it's a bit like, you know, I always think of it like, because I think about me on stage, it's like breakdancers, you know, they come on stage and they create this vortex of energy around them. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with a stand-up comic, you know, by pulling into their world, you get mesmerized and pull into this great place that they have. And so whether it's like Bill Burr, Dave Attell, you know, all mm-hmm. these guys, I love them. And the way their minds work, I think that it's an incredibly hard job, and it's a beautiful job.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, James.
What?
Shannon, you know what I'm going to say. I used to be a breakdancer.
And my biggest inspiration as a comic is him as a breakdancer.
I was in
you should know that.
And to much chagrin of my other husband.
And I can only imagine you broke a lot of stuff.
I was only 5'7 at the time. I was 14. And I was in a movie called Crush Group, which was a big breakdancing movie.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, I was picked out because I used to go breakdancing to make money in Manhattan. And we were picked out. My brother and I, two white Jewy boys, come be in this movie. And
that's but that whole the world that you get
yeah.
is just
it's can't
just
do it now. I would die. Yeah, but I did it then.
He did a kickworm after we lost a bet, and he was banged up for 2 days.
To prove that I could still do the worm stupid thing, I did it, but I'm too old now. I was in pain, that's for sure. It was not fun. All right, before we go any further, this is a company that's been with us for a long fucking time. If your main objective right now is to get really super duper fucking high, there's one way you can do it, and legally in most of the states, I don't know how many now, but a good amount. It's YoDelta.com. You go to YoDelta.com. You're over the age of 21 and you're in the majority of one of these states where this is legal. You could stock up on vapes. You could stock up on gummies for all your getting stoned needs. Delta 8 is found in hemp and can be legally shipped to a bunch of states in this grand United States of ours. And everybody that uses Delta 8 at the Gas Digital Studios, goddamn love it. That's the best way to describe it to you. So if you use the promo code GAS, that's G-A-S, at YoDelta.com, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. That's 25% off at YoDelta.com. Stock up on all your gummies, all your vapes for the cold winter months that are coming up ahead of us. Go to YoDelta.com, promo code GAS, and get super fucking high. Let's get back into it. You talk often about this because you're in town. You're doing something for anti-gun violence that's coming up this Friday. I know you have 4 kids, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. and you're also a grandfather, but you don't use that term, I don't think. You say poppy.
Yeah, I also papa. I reserved that word.
I mean, this is insane. This man.
Who looks 10 years younger than me is a grandfather.
Is a grandfather. My grandpa, I was his first grandson. He was 48. That's mm-hmm. fair time for
him. That's fair time for him.
I love this son of a bitch. He was a good looking dude. Didn't look like, this is insanity. Insane. The Clash of the Titans here is a
stupid question. And this is
a life well lived.
Sorry, Papa.
We're going to tell you.
Do you have, and I'm sorry, because I'm trying to, I'm now 53, right? And I'm trying to say somewhat youthful as much as I can. Obviously not working.
You look great.
That's very sweet of you. But do you have any sort of skin regimens, health regimens, things that you believe made a difference to why you still look the way you do? Or you just think it's luck of the draw?
Just luck of the, I'm lucky. My mum looks really young, so I think I just had that. And my whole life when I was a kid, the funny part is it's like my revenge, because when I was a kid and all my friends would go out and we'd go and get into pubs and clubs and all that, I never got in. I was always turned away.
Yeah.
I looked too young. And it was really embarrassing. You'd go, I was always getting turned away from pubs and everything. And I just thought, this is going to work to my advantage at one point. The other end of my life is going to go
that's
great.
That's pretty good. But you don't do anything for instance, I see this all over TikTok now, these stupid red light masks that are supposed to make your wrinkles go away or certain fucking facials. You don't do any of that shit, or do you?
I think some of those red light things are amazing. I hurt my knee. They gave me a red light thing, a wand for it. You can put it on your face.
Wow.
You can
do everything. I'm going to try some of that.
Yeah.
I need to fucking...
Yeah.
Because also, I know that...
It is good.
I don't think... And I feel free to tell me, shut up, you don't want to talk about this, right? But I don't think you're single anymore. But you were single in an interview that I heard not that long ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it really bothered me that the interviewer did not follow up this question. So I'm just going to tell you what happened and feel free to tell me you don't want to answer this, okay? So he said, hey, did anyone ever, since you've been single, break up with you? And you said... My last girlfriend broke up with me in a, quote, spectacular fashion. And he just said, okay, so tell me about the new album. I'm like, what? I was running this morning. I was like, how do you not follow up that fucking question? In my mind, it's like streamers and a light show, like guess who no longer has a girlfriend, you know? But was that, just, do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do. Okay. I know exactly. I was right there. And I was happy. I was happy that she didn't ask the follow-up question. So I'm ecstatic.
You don't want to answer
that. No, I can. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Oh, I can do it.
It's
nice and beat yourself up time. It's hilarious. Now it's hilarious. So I was dating this this girl for a couple of years, 2 years, and a sort of femme fatale type. So you're just basically borrowing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, can we just go out for a bit until you find something better? And all that happened is that my best friend was getting married.
Okay.
I might be in a rabbit hole, so we'll get out of it quickly if everyone starts, like, you know, sort of like tuning out. But I my best friend was getting married. So he had four of us that all grew up together. We were all the best men.
Oh, that's
we
nice
did it
good.
All the three other three. Everyone we've all been married once, I think. And at that time, the other three, the best men.
Okay.
So we all give speeches. So I organized a dinner in London. Because my friends were a sort of in between big dinners at the time. I said, let me have a big dinner with everyone.
Okay.
I had all the best men, their girlfriends, and I was flying in from LA, and this girl was flying in from somewhere else where she lived. Mm-hmm. And she didn't show. And so it was like at this big dinner, and it was like, 12 people, but there was 11 people. Right. And I had a space next to me, like, you know, idiot guy. And so I was like, and then the next day was the wedding. So we go to the wedding, and my dad had died a few months earlier, and they were really struck by this, it's funny, I swear, this speech that I gave. I wrote a speech for him, you know, mm-hmm. and the church. And they go, could you do a speech like you did at Jim's wedding? My dad was, would you do about Jim's funeral? I was like, what, just take out the death bit? So do I take out the death? Yeah. But anyway, so I wrote for them. Yeah. And I go up to the church to give the, and then it turned out that my girl, who I thought was coming in, hadn't come in and said, I've got to go to Miami. I was like, what? She goes, I've got to get my head straight. And then suddenly I get all these pictures from someone, I'm in wedding suit in the church, and it's got the, and she'd gone off with some footballer.
Oh.
And was making out with him on the beach.
But on like Instagram or something.
No. Oh, yes. Yeah, worldwide build.
Oh, Jesus.
Huge.
While pictures. You're about to give your speech.
Yeah, during that time. And just like pictures of them all. And I was just like, fuck.
That's pretty.
And it was just, it was an amazing, amazing end to a sort of, the way I look at it now is that it was a pretty incredible time we had. And so it just had to end like the big bang.
So it starts spectacularly, ends spectacularly.
And so that's sort of what it was. And it was.
Did you text her? I hope you got your head on straight, bitch.
Nah, we, you know, whatever, you know, it's just a piece of work. But she, yeah, whatever. Right, that's a long story.
I'm glad I asked. It's a good story.
That was a story. Because
also she had to know those pictures are going to show up, so she was going out in a bang.
Yeah, she's pretty psychotic.
Okay, so now to switch gears a little bit, I watched the video of your potentially new cooking show, right? Called Eat with Gavin, right? But the Eat is E.A.T. Nowhere.
Everything is always tonight.
There we go. I couldn't know what that was. So now I was trying to figure it out. Everything always tonight. Tonight. I like it. And I saw Tom Jones, Jack. I always forgot the last name. McBrayer. Is that right? McBrayer?
Yeah, Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, they're both in it. And you're singing with Tom Jones, who I can't believe. I don't know if he taped it this year or last year, but he's 85, 86.
It's incredible.
His voice is still.
I saw him 4 months ago.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. At the Beacon. Great show.
It's crazy.
The dude's spectacular. No, he's perfectly blunt.
He's unbelievable.
It's spectacular. Hard. So with it, so together. So it leads to my question, before we get into cooking, because I also, by the way, not to brag again, I went to cooking school, ran a restaurant 4 years. I will throw down with you any day you want.
That's the king of culinary.
I'll look to learn stuff. It's not a competition.
But as a man who's been in this business 30 plus years, are there rock star relationships, friendships that have stayed throughout the test of time with you? Like, are there people that you came up with and you're still friends with today?
From music in the world.
Yeah, in the world of music.
Yeah, for sure. I just did a video for the new song, Everything Always. No, that's the different. That's my
Nowhere to Go But Everywhere.
Nowhere to Go But Everywhere. Fuck, there's too many things. Nowhere to Go But Everywhere. And I needed a mad scientist because they did this whole, it's pretty cool, the video. I should show it to you before I leave, that I got a trailer for it. It's pretty cool. Because we haven't done videos for long, for ages, because right. there's no point. So now what you do is you just do like, you do a minute of a video for 4, 5, 6 minutes, and then you have pieces, and that's apparently much more interesting.
Yeah, these right? days. So the attention span is getting shorter. It's going to eventually yes. be a half second attention span.
Yeah. So.
You needed a mad scientist.
I needed a mad scientist. And immediately I went David Yao. Now, he's the Jesus Lizard,
sure.
singer mm-hmm. Jesus Lizard. He's a legend. He's one of the greatest performers I'd ever seen. I love him. And so he came to do it, and he plays the mad scientist in the video where I'm actually doing the extreme version of Red Light. I'm taking sort of a course because the whole video is about me taking measures to become younger again. It's like a Dorian Gray.
I should watch it for pointers.
No. It ends badly. It ends badly because that's what makes it interesting. It ends really badly. But yeah, so that was.
That's cool. And so the there's a greatest hits coming out. There's a new single on there. Nowhere to Go But Everywhere has like these cool like dual vocals of you, which it's interesting. I like that a lot. But you said multiple times that you write 20 songs for each album. You end up with 12. Mm-hmm. Right. So for this record, is this a song that was
one and done? They said to me on tour, my manager's like, "Hey, we need that song. You know, we've got it next week." It's like, "I'm on tour. I've done a demo at my house," and so we had to go to record the drums, record in a hotel room. It's kind of fun, sort of pretty guerrilla recordings, and it's the song. And it's a bit like the Beef Wellington that I made in that cooking thing I did with Tom. I was like realizing that that was the only one I had. I had to come out at 129. I was screwed. And, you know, I was like, when I do that cut, you know, the reveal and you got the cameras, I was thinking.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. Yeah, usually you're supposed to make three.
Yeah, really, of course right? you are. Yeah. I didn't, you know, yeah. I'm a novice at this shit. I got to get myself together.
I recently, on my Instagrams, made a beautiful salmon Wellington. It came out
I
great.
Saw that.
It really came out great.
And guess what I did? I clapped.
Oh, thank
I
you
clapped
very much.
While, you know, holding a phone. But
thank
I was very, very impressed by it.
Yeah, I know. I know my way around the kitchen, my friend.
Buddy,
you make the puff pastry?
Huh? I don't make the puff pastry. No, so here's the thing.
Hey, come on. You went to culinary school and made the puff pastry?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is a real answer, by the way. When I went to cooking school.
I'm sorry to put you on the back foot.
That's fine. No, you're right.
Give him the business, Gabbett. Give him the business.
The chef at this stool said something that stuck with me, that there's certain things that it's just not worth making because it's no one's going to really know the difference. Yes, if you make yourself, it probably tastes solidly 20 to 25% better if you make it yourself. But you get a good puff pastry, it's so much easier. It just is.
Of course.
Pie shells, puff pastry, just fucking buy them. It's really what I look at it. Unless you're doing a graham cracker crust. Sorry, I'm getting off topic.
Love this hard stance.
I'm getting a fucking
I love this.
I'm getting off topic.
People needed to know where you stood on this shit, Ralph.
But so the question
Stop
is,
dilly-dallying.
Back to the 20 for 12 that I said at the top, where are those at this point? It's like 9 albums. Where are those extra songs that you'd never made it to record? That's like 30 songs. Where are those songs?
Right. I think I may have been exaggerating how many songs I wrote. Come to think of it, I'd like that question back.
So, and maybe some of them made it.
It always goes somewhere. There's very few. And if they don't, like I did a song actually, for instance, there was a song that I did. Do you remember a band called X-Ray Specs?
Oh, yeah.
I knew Polystyrene in London. She became a Hare Krishna.
Okay.
And she, when I was growing up, like this record was unbelievable. Like this was when I was a kid and she had songs like Genetic Engineering. Mm-hmm. Do you remember those tracks? Genetic engineering could create.
I remember the name of the band. I don't think I
create an unknown life force that can us exterminate. It's really amazing, progressive stuff. Anyhow, I got to come and sing on a song with me called "Ban the Bomb," and it was a really good song. Apart from one bit of it, like your song, I think your song's as good as the weakest bit. I don't know maybe if you have an act and you look at your thing, it's as good as the weakest bit.
I got you.
You know what I mean? If you get the weak bit right, the rest of it's gonna be strong. Yeah. And,
by the way, that's a look at when I look at dating profiles online, I look at the worst picture and say, that's what she's going to look like. If I'm good with that, then I'm good.
That's the middle of her act. That's not the opener or the closer.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, it's like you can knock on her door and, you know, early in the morning. She looks all right. Yeah, yeah, stay there.
If we're okay with that, then we're fine. Yeah. So you're saying the song, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so sad because it has a really good bit about another sleepless night and a cool thing and Band the Bomb and a cool chorus. It just had not a very good verse. So I just never knew what to do with it. I probably should just improve the verse and then I'd be all right.
So it's sitting somewhere.
Oh. So if there's I like writing a lot of songs because I like that thing of taking the pressure off the song. The greatest hits song, this one, mm-hmm. I was like, this better be
good.
It's
the only one.
It's unusual for me. Normally, I like the process of just writing and just let it happen. And then you work backwards. And at the end of the week, you just say, okay, I started three songs, I'm getting rid of one.
Right. Less pressure on that.
You do like that. And the less pressure on the songs themselves. So, but they always end up getting used.
I like you said with because they reissue, I think it came out this year, of Art of Survival with like bonus material. Amy Lee's on one track.
Oh, my God.
And it's A Thousand Years, the song. Great. And you said, well, she's singing on it. I'm just there because she, and that's, it's pretty wild. She really kills that vocal.
It was a pretty cool, interesting song. And then when she's on it, as I say, I've said it before, but I'll say it for you. She just took it uptown. Yeah. She's pure uptown.
Yeah, it's really good. I knew the song. I didn't know that really. So I went and listened. I was like, wow, she really fucking brings it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I should have got her from the beginning. I don't know what I was doing. I'm an idiot. I learned from that.
Yeah. Also, am I right? Because you said before, were a big fan of Bowie, right? Yeah. The only time I think Bush opened for someone was for Bowie.
Twice.
And is your mother's name Bowie? Mm-hmm. That's a cute little...
Look at that.
First name?
No, last name.
I mean, if your mom's name was Bowie, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, knife.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a nice full circle thing there.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of full circles. I love it. On this record, for instance, slightly more not as interesting, but kind of fun for me, is that my first album, 16 Stone, I got Ray Gunn and Dave Carson to do the artwork, which is a big deal for me because I love the artwork. And this artwork is done by Chris Ashworth, who's the other original Ray Gunn person.
Oh.
So there's a nice full circle to that.
And also
for the art lovers out there.
A cover's on there too. You close with Come Together, which was previously released. But was there a debate to put a cover on, or you just love that cover?
Yeah, I was completely confused by it, but my manager told me that no one cares, and the Beatles are a great band, so fuck it, put it on there.
Is that really the conversation?
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. I like that conversation.
Because I was like, but if we didn't write it, you know.
Let me ask you a question. When you do a cover, do you go to see if someone else did a cover and be like, we did better? Because Aerosmith, not the best cover of Come Together.
Now, let me tell you this. When I got asked by Mike Garson, who's... Yeah, obviously, you know, because you're a musician, understanding, I know you know a lot about music. Mike Garson is Bowie's piano player, keyboard player from the 70s.
Okay.
He contacted me and he asked me, he said, hey, do you want to do a song with me for Music Cares? I said, oh my God, it's fucking Mike Garson. He's the greatest piano player I've ever heard in my life. I of course. And he goes, you can do anything you want, get from Bowie's catalog. And I was like, wow, was it like... Have you done a slow version of like, I think it's Wild as the Wind? Have you done something like that? And he goes, let me send you the Nina Simone version.
Great version.
And then Bowie did a great version.
Bowie does an incredible version.
When Montreux, let me see that. I was like, oh my God, I'm not touching that song forever. Leave me alone. There's no way I touch that. So then I said to him, have you ever done a really slow version of Heroes? Mm. Like Maudlin, Funereal. And he goes, no. So I was like, brilliant, can we do that? So that's what we did. And then he played on a couple of songs on the Bush record. He played on this one song, Undone. Again, he took it so uptown. I'm so smart or dumb, because I should have been smarter at having it earlier. And I keep getting on the fucking deluxe like a moron. no one's hearing enough. So, but yeah, working with those people, I'm actually going to do a show with Mike next year. He's asked me to do it where we had lunch the other day about doing a he has a residency somewhere, and he just has certain singers go in. You've got to do 8-10 songs.
Oh, wow.
100 people in the audience.
Wow.
Where's that really cool. In America or
in LA at I think he's at a hotel somewhere. He has a residency.
You know what's wild is that, and I did the math, I could be wrong, so you feel free to correct me, but I think so Bush was together, took a hiatus, and now you're back as Bush. And I think you are the only original member now, but Bush back. But you're back now longer than you were a band from when you first started. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was 2000. Yeah. That was 2007. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Is it?
I know. It's very tenacious or repetitive. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what else to do. And every time I try and do anything else, like the cooking show, I can't fucking get it made. Couldn't get it arrested.
Who the fuck's making? You know, by the way, so I had a cooking show called Recipes That Rock, where we would cook with artists and then they would sing a song.
Love it.
And then fans got to eat the food while the band played. Right. Oh, so you eat the sing. And the tagline was "Food never sounded so good." Boom. Good shit. But we can never.
How did they not go anywhere? You were robbed. You was robbed. How did that?
And we did. I did the pilot with Corey Glover from Living Color, and awesome. We did one with Dee Snider. It was good, but it never went anywhere. But it was tricky to do all the filming and stuff. Are you with the food? Are you telling them what you're cooking ahead of time? Or are they helping you guide what they want to eat? Like, how are you deciding
the
meal?
I totally did it like as if you came to my house for dinner.
Okay.
And so I really would like prepare as much as I can ahead of it so I look effortless and easy going and do all the heavy lifting in the day. And then just everything that you need to do that's better in the moment, you do a la minute, whatever.
Right. Okay, that's
so
cool.
That's what it was, and it was really, really no different. If I had someone come around for dinner, that's what it would be to get most of it ready. And I don't like that thing of I like the idea of servitude of food. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of getting people to come in and like cook something. I spoke to a friend of mine is a basketball player, and I asked him to do the show. I was just asking a few prospective people, you know, and I said, would he be able to, would he like to do the show? And he's like, yeah, I love to cook. We'll cook, going against each other. And I'm going to do a dish, you're going to do this. I was like, no.
Yeah, not only do you like the servitude aspect, which I get, but also it was a Miles Davis quote that you said regarding cooking, how all musicians should cook. And there is a symmetry there or symbiosis there, like the chord of a flavor profile is similar to a guitar. You need certain elements to round it out or else it tastes like shit.
Yeah. And it's also the thing of like, I don't know why, but I have, I'm terrible at many things. So it's not like, but with what one thing that I have a natural thing about is I have a sense of the order of when to cook things to, so you know what I mean? Some people like, you know, go to the house and they'd be like, the chicken's ready, but and the potatoes will be ready in an hour.
Right. Yeah, that happens a lot of Thanksgiving meals where everything's misplanned. Yeah,
so for some reason, I have a knack for when I have know the time. I just have a and then I'm experienced at it. And what do they call it? Temperature and time.
Yeah, but where you and I differ, you said in an interview you don't mind if it takes 3 days to make something, like the marinating and the. Yeah. Most of my food's ready within the hour. Like, that's how I cook. Like, I want it to be ready within an hour.
I'm impatient.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
But I care a lot about plating, and I care a lot about the way aesthetically it looks, and that to me is...
There's just certain things like marinades, you do need a bit of time.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then I always say that cooking is the only art form where it uses your five main senses. No other art form does that.
Right.
Which is makes it unique.
It's such a brilliant thing, isn't it? Like, such a laugh to eat and drink. I mean, for instance, for example, with Tom Jones, he doesn't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And he'd drink like about four bottles of Bollinger that night. So I have, you know, 10 hours or 6 hours of Tom Jones.
That's great. Like, he was great hearing his story, the clips I saw.
Telling the stories. Great. And that was one moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. We don't have all the time in the world with you, so I'm going to hit some things quick because I know you got a heart out.
I'm enjoying this.
The
having a good time.
This is great, right?
Well, I have been told you have a heart out.
We do all right for a couple
minutes.
Chooches. We do okay.
But I learned a long time ago, don't piss off publicists because then you don't get any of their other fucking people. So you got to be nice. All right, before we go any further, a brand new sponsor that I could not be fucking happier about. I am a coffee nut. And thank you so much to Salty Sailor Coffee for bringing a whole new quality experience to my coffee routine. The finest beans only make the cut through their meticulous sourcing process. They have some cool things like a whiskey barrel blend. They have espresso blends. They also have some cool gear there like shirts, hats, mugs, all the stuff that you might want at saltysailorcoffee.com. If you are a coffee nut like me, that's reason enough to go to saltysailorcoffee.com. But they proudly give 10% back to the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, so they're supporting active duty sailors and Marines that need a helping hand. So not only are you going to be getting a 15% off deal, but 10% of your purchase goes to this charity, which is amazing. I've been using their espresso blend. Love it silly. SaltySailorCoffee.com. Use the promo code SDR15. That is the biggest discount they offer. SDR15 at Salty Sailor Coffee. Supporting a sponsor that supports the show is how this show continues. So buy yourself some coffee, help out the Navy Marine Corps, and save some money while you're doing it. SaltySailorCoffee.com. Thank you so much for being a brand new sponsor. And let's get back into it.
So a couple of things. One, the acting side real quick, right? You were in Constantine. There's a Constantine 2 coming out. You did a movie. Is there any? Have you looked into that at all, about being back into that as Balthazar?
I've been so ambitious. I always read these stories about how people, actors, they insist to get a role from someone. I was like, how the fuck do they do that? How do they get in there? I would have done it 100 times, but I don't know who to tell. And so what I did, which is really unlike me being English and not that pushy, I wrote both the writer, Akiva Goldsman, and the director, Francis Lawrence. And
was that's a big step.
Listen, I just want to say it was the cultural, like one of my working highlights of my life being on that movie. Mm-hmm. I had such an amazing time, and I just want to sort of, how do I pledge allegiance? Like a hungry actor.
But you have been working. You did this movie not that long ago called Habit, right?
Yeah.
And now you just a new movie coming out with Bella Thorne again. She was in that movie. She's going to be in the new movie called The Trainer. And Stephen Dorff, former guest of this show, is in it. And along with Lenny Kravitz, that's coming out too, right?
Right. Yeah. The Tony K movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I love Tony K. I want to work with him more. And I was talking to him about something else, and I called him up to see how he was doing. He goes, "You'll come down. You got to come down and work on this."
Do you think said "come down" as a play on words because of your song, or no?
No, he doesn't know about his song. And we went.
There's been a chemical between us since the last time we worked. Sorry.
I mean, it's very generous if you call me in it. I was in it slightly, quickly. Okay. I don't know where I ended up. But it was wild because I went down there. They did this thing at the Doghouse, training place. So I had to go in, and I had to go up John McEnroe. I have to go in and say hello to him. It's about Vito Schnabel is a celebrity trainer with no celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go in, say hi to John. And this guy comes up, Vito. He comes to say, wants to train me. Mm-hmm. And then John's getting rid of him. And then somehow I was in the next scene, and suddenly Tony K was dressed as a sort of a Sikh in all the white, and everyone's on floors. And it was this, and he was just walking around giving, like, it was like we joined a cult. So I have no idea what this movie's about. And he went, "Gavin, what have you learned about life?" You just stand up and just give a speech. And obviously when you're improvising on a movie, the longer you improvise for, the bigger chance you're in it.
Yeah. Bad point.
So if you shut up, you're not in it. So I just bashed on about some nonsense. I didn't even know what it was. But it was a completely surreal experience. And I forgot I was in it. I didn't even know what the name of it was. I was thinking, funny. When you mentioned it, I was thinking, how sweet. He thinks I'm in a movie. I don't think I'm in that movie. And now when you say... I go, "Oh, fuck, I am in that movie."
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. At least my research is paid off.
And by the way,
here's what else I like. So obviously you're a very passionate father as well. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about your kids. And this made me fucking laugh because you make sure when you're with your kids, you're with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you plan out, like if you're going on tour, whatever it is, that you try to not let it affect the time with your kids.
It's massive.
And one of your kids said to you one day, "Dad, do you even work anymore?" Which is fucking hilarious. Yeah. That shows how present you are. That like, "Dad,
that was
my favorite
thing.
Already. Get out of here."
That's what he said. And the other one that you'll like this as you're as a chef, and you know, I really, really pay a lot of attention with their food, and I send them to full food to school with food, and I make them. It's ridiculous, but it's like this thing that they all get different things. And the other week, my little son came back, and I noticed that he hadn't touched one bit. And he goes, "Dad, no one has crudités at school."
That's great. That's fucking great. He's embarrassed to bring out his lunch.
Yeah,
he's doing fondue. He's like, "Dad, come on now."
Little vinaigrette.
Fucking hilarious. I love it. And also, I saw that you're singing on a new song with a band called Gunship. That's coming. That just came out, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that band, but
nor did I. But they were a really big kind of dance electro band, and like it was a brilliant track, and it's funny when you work sing someone's song in the studio, you know, when you listen to it in passing, you don't really listen to the intricacies. But when I've got to sing a song and kind of do it justice, mm-hmm. I was like, these are really good, and he's a really good singer, like a really painfully good. So it was a bit of a challenge to do it, but it was a laugh, and I did it, and that was it. And it was I love singing, do collaborations.
You know, it's interesting. This is the greatest hit that's coming out, which is called Loaded. It comes out on the 20th of September. Has the new single we talked about, Nowhere to Go But Everywhere. It is your first greatest hits, because there was like a remix record that came out years ago. Mm-hmm. The remix of When the Cables Sleep, which is called the Now
Café Delmont.
To this day, that's on like all of my, excuse my language, everyone, fuck songs playlist, like where it's like in the background.
Glad to be yourself.
You can't say
just,
song.
Can you say that? It's just in there because it's just such a cool.
Yeah, they did a great job.
It's
on
such
that.
A great version. I don't mean to be
they
shitty.
They took me uptown too.
They took you uptown. And it's hard to say this. I prefer that version. It's just such a cool, unique version.
In a way, so do I.
Oh, look at that. Look at us bonding
this
here.
This is great.
God damn
you
it.
You two are wonderful.
I don't want to be late with this. Well, the other thing I thought was interesting, you said your two favorite vocalists, Bono and Chino, mm-hmm. right? I think your side project from a few years ago, you opened for you too, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like you are right in that, like if I had to describe you as a vocalist, it's kind of like where that Venn diagram is, where you'd be in the middle of that too.
Oh,
so
I don't know about that.
It's kind of an interesting.
I just got an invite today to the U2 shows coming up at the Sphere in Vegas.
Oh, I was asked to please not come, which is weird.
Well, yeah, I was really happy about that. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. Those are the hardest tickets. I have buddies back home who are like, I'd have to bankrupt my whole family to go to this show, but everyone wants to go.
But look, we got to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
So,
for once in your
Gavin,
life.
Let's say this again. You're going to be playing The Artist for Action at Sandy Hook Promise. It's at
Amazing
Irving Plaza.
Charity.
It's all about gun violence.
Yeah, well, we can ask me anything about that if you like.
Well, just kind of tell me how you got into that. We got a solid 5 minutes, so let's talk about that real quick.
Well, there's a guy, Mark Braden, began to... He lost his son in Sandy Hook. He was a touring musician, 7 years old. And then he dedicated his life to this. His charity's begun. And then Artists for Action contacted us about a show in New York. And
which your bottle is still out of frame, but that's the Artists for Action bottle right there.
Ah, it's I a see good that. Bottle. It's got my name on it. Is it meant to be mine? Is that for me?
It's for you.
Look at that.
Your band name on it too, buddy.
That's
a good goddamn bottle.
That's a nice and a purple bottom.
I knew, I knew a girl that had one of those.
A purple bottom?
Yeah.
And so nice it's country. So we got asked, everyone like sees these mass shootings and mm-hmm. it's hard to make sense of them. Like
right.
you kind of trace the, how does this, are you, really very confusing. And so to be asked to be part of, this is like Billie Eilish and Peter Gabriel, Sheryl Crow, all incredible musicians. I love them all deeply. And it's just about, you know, the question is, what makes these people, how isolated are they? How isolated do people get that they become this psychotic? And what I like about these organizations is that they are really trying to, that's the what they're bringing up to the fore, to, you know, within communities to try and work against that, because it's just not right. I mean, it doesn't happen anywhere else in the
right.
world.
Well, also we're so gun happy in this country in general. But what I'd like, because you've often said this in most of your music, if you're bringing up a topic that is political or social, it's just about
the human side,
bringing up the conversation. Well, you're not taking a stance. It's like we should talk about this. Just like. Who's it? Like, is anybody
essential.
For gun violence?
Yeah.
Not really. So we should just talk about this.
It's essential,
know?
Because that's the whole point. That's also what I liked about it, is it's not politically based.
Right.
It's independent. And it's just about the humanism factor of it, which is dead obvious. And we're just thrilled to be doing this benefit on Friday at the Irving Plaza.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And it's going to be great. We're trying to get Mark to come up and play a song with us. Keep it that people always love that when you kind of mix musicians around. And... it's just brilliant to be part of something that is, you know, as a dad, as a person, you don't need to be a dad.
Yeah, just a human.
It's a human being.
Yeah,
it's
for God's
ridiculous.
Sake, it is crazy. Yeah. It is crazy. Also, I don't know how many more gun related.
There's been 400.
Versus any other first world country. It is fucking crazy.
400.
It's crazy. It's awful. There's like nobody, I don't think anybody disagrees that needs to change, you know?
Yep.
And it's Artists for Action. When you can look them up online. It's not hard to find them. And it's a great cause. You should be involved with it. The Greatest Hits Loaded comes out on the 20th. Nowhere to Go But Everywhere. We're going to add to the playlist, thestrshow.com/playlist. You've already answered our first. When we end the show, we always ask about your first
experience. She did the seconds.
With sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But we don't have
the seconds.
Time.
I know, next time.
Pissed. People are going to get angry.
The seconds.
And I had 20 other things, but we can't get to it all this time. So,
Gavin, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
Anything else you want to plug before we wrap this up? Or did we
no, I have an embarrassment of things going on. It seems like ridiculous. I'm a traveling salesman. I can give you a watch. I can give you
the clothing line. Yeah. You got the new greatest hits. I'm sure the new album in the works. James, your plugs real quick. We got like 2 minutes.
The James Madden, Instagram, YouTube's website. I'll be with Chris DiStefano October 26th through 28th in Raleigh and November 2nd through the 4th in the Midwest. And I'm doing David Tell. You brought David Tell. I'm with David Tell. October the blah blah blah.
Great.
The 14th at Governor's.
So, October blah 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 is my favorite date.
Shannon, it's a good date, baby.
Shannon, your plugs.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And I have one correction. The Greatest Hits album comes out November 10th.
November 10th. Sorry.
Yes, November 10th.
Good day.
Sorry about that, everybody.
And Dave Attell is great.
Did we ask this last time? Does Gavin Rossdale believe in ghosts? I think we did ask
he
that.
He believes in
I
ghosts.
I don't remember, but I say yes.
I say yes also.
It's easy money.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I want to.
Okay, that's fair. I take that as a yes. And follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton.
Real X-Files.
My other podcast is called Good Sugar. We have a store on 3rd Avenue, 69th Street. All vegan food there. Healthy, socially conscious footprint. No single-use plastics. Come down to 3rd Avenue, 69th. And the podcast on health and wellness, Good Sugar, comes out every Monday. Gavin, thank you so fucking much for coming in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a picture and get you out before 5:15.
Finding ways to keep it lit. Know your rights, it's not a game. Flesh and blood on the interstate. I wish I knew myself better.
How many years do you want to go back? 10? 20?
30.
30, huh? Against the tide, drown yourself in a sea of lies. I wish I knew myself better.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.